That's right, we are back, Slam Jammers. Welcome back to Season 2. We are not dead, unlike Donald Trump. Actually, no, scratch that. That should say, just like Donald Trump, we are still alive and kicking. I'm going to bring in my first host of the day. It's Colin, Coach K. Kugler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stay alive, just like the Bee Gees. It's good to be back. Thank you very much.
Mate, where have you been?
Man, I've been across the ditch. I was in the States, did Austin, Texas. We did Florida. We did Las Vegas. And we even did Greenville, South Carolina.
And you played a bit of pickleball?
I did. I did. For my bachelor party, I signed up for a pickleball tournament in Jacksonville, Florida. And you're talking to a bronze bomber.
Again?
Again. Me and my old college frat buddy decided to partner up. We first signed up for 4.5 because I thought that's what we should do. Then he convinced me he hasn't been playing that often.
Oh.
And so we went down to 4.0. And I said, that's all right. Yeah, we'll have a bit of fun. And then he got multiple emails from the director of the tournament saying, because of Colin's duper, you need to go back up to 4.5.
Oh, that's big dog status.
Super duper. I know. And so then my buddy said, all right, well, maybe I'll start practicing a bit more. But we had a lot of fun. It was him, myself, and then about six other mates who signed up for beginners. It's just quite funny because I always compare tournaments to Slam Jam, right? Like,
when
I go to tournaments, it doesn't have the vibe. There's no music. No one's cheering on. Like, we're the only ones drinking beer. We are cheering each other on. We are talking smack to the other competitors. And as for fun, they're having fun with it as well. But I felt like without us there, it would have been a pretty stale event.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing what you're saying.
But I will give shout out to Jeffrey Hand, my partner. He took being targeted a bit offensively. He was definitely the one that they were aiming for. And I brought up stacking. And he mentioned that it would be too hard to keep count of where we need to be on the court if we did that. And I said, you know what? You're right. And I'm about team culture. So I said, let's do it. We'll stick together, have a bit of fun. We ended up playing a team in pool play, and we beat them pretty convincingly. And then we had to face them for the third place medal. And their strategy stayed the same. They started targeting El Jefe, I call him. And we ended up winning, I think, 15-5. And after the game, El Jefe had a few words over the net to this opponent team saying, you targeted me the first game and you targeted me this game. Same result. Same result. And then we drank a lot of beers, copious amounts of beers in Jacksonville. And it was a great day. So, yeah, it's always fun to sign up for events while you're also on holidays. So that's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm. So, mate, you carried him.
And that Jacksonville sun. That Jacksonville sun, that makes those bronze look damn well gold.
Pretty much. I mean, to be honest, the venue, shout out, I think it's called Toontown. It is really cool. It's in downtown Jacksonville, right next to the stadium, inside. It's an inside warehouse, and it's got all these graffiti and spray paint. We met the owners, really good guy, brand new to, I mean, I think it opened 1 month before the actual tournament. So they're learning as well. They had like a Coca-Cola machine with pickleballs in it. So you don't buy drinks, you buy pickleballs.
I think you sent that in a message, didn't you?
Yeah.
Business idea.
They did a great job. They thought everything through. The only thing is, unfortunately, it was a bit rainy that day, and there was a few areas that water was coming down, so we had to get some towels over the courts. But all in all, I had a great time at that tournament. It was just good to get my friends who, you know, some do play, and some, that was probably their first ever tournament ever in pickleball history, and they all had fun. So I think we brought the energy, and it was probably the best bachelor party I've ever had.
Nice, my friend. Good to hear that you're building the community for us abroad.
Yes. By the way, all my mates were wearing Slam Jam shirts, so I'll have to send some photos. Yeah, my buddy Kyle Hicks, he had a Slam Jam shirt. He's the one that came to Slam Jam in Australia.
Works in NASCAR, yeah?
He works in NASCAR. You should have seen him. He gets pretty loud on the courts. He's
a big boy.
He's a big boy, and he doesn't mind telling people how he feels.
I love that. I love that. Now, listeners, you might have heard what sounds like someone coming to us from under the sea. There is a cable between Australia and Indonesia, and we have a correspondent now based in Indonesia. He's put down his paddle, and he's started playing padel. It is Ty Iraolde.
What's happening, Slam Jammers? Guys, it's so good to be back. And I'm just going to ask you, actually, if you guys going to kind of slow it down, my English is not so good anymore. I think I'm on day 65 here in Bali. So just keep in mind, yeah, my English is 100% slipping.
You little binting bad boy.
But, and I will say that, I mean, look, we have a natural ranking for our little grudge series. And Adam, you know, although Colin and I will probably, we can do battle at the top. I think you're a notch below if I'm just going to come out swinging today.
That's a big call.
But I will say
that
you can definitely beat me.
I always travel.
You can definitely beat me now.
Ty, I always travel.
Hold on, Adam's my silver going.
I always travel with it.
Don't you dare disrespect
me with language like a notch below. When I'm holding a silver medal,
you're not below.
Boy.
Anyway, I'm going to happily take the third place slot today. Yeah, I have played one game of pickleball in the last 65 days. And I was with you, Adam, and we won, actually. So, KL, I take everything I said back. But, yeah, day 65 here in Bali. Absolutely loving it. And I'm not going to say... of course, given our audience, I'm not going to say that I've made the full commitment to padel, as you say, but I will say that this sport is so much fun.
Is it
changing
your life?
So much fun, this paddle sport. I think so. Mm. I think so. I absolutely love it.
Question the way from that, the Peanut Gallery. Are you still playing in silver Americano? Have you stepped it up to gold Americano? Because I think the fun's about to stop.
I did have my gold review, so I can play in gold now.
Oh,
I haven't done it because you got to remember. I'm still the newbie to this sport.
Yes. Can I just get some clarification as a pickleballer? What can you compare that to? Is that like you're a 5.0 is gold and maybe 4.0 is silver? Or?
Ty, I would say a gold would be like a 5. Yeah, I would say a gold. Would be about like a 5.0 player. Then they have platinum, which would probably start from like 5.5, I'd say. And then these guys are like holding exhibition games. They're super fun to watch. And then, yeah, silver would be probably 4.5 to 5.0, I would say. And that's where I'm at. And it's just
you're
a lot of fun
over there.
No, I've won twice. And they do these things called Americanas, which are actually, let me say, this is where pickleball needs to take a page from at least this Bali Paddles book. They have incredible apps.
Yes.
Where you book games, courts are booked all over the place. It's highly organized. Finding a court is damn near impossible. So, you know, you think about your favorite Thursday night hit or your Wednesday morning hit. Think about that and that caliber. These games are happening every 15 minutes at different courts around the place. No shirt, no problem. All these facilities have ice baths. They all have saunas. They all have restaurants attached to them, pools. I mean, as far as, you know, enjoyment and the recreation part of it, it's amazing. So I think that's adding to my new love of this sport, but it's probably enough for paddle because this isn't a paddle.
No, but happy you're having a really good time. It's going to be good to have you tuning in from over there and contributing still to the podcast, mate, even though, you sound like you're a telemarketer right now.
Well, that's funny because we know I have a bit of background in it. Anyway, my Slam Jammers, I would be remiss if I did not introduce, and this is Collins drumroll. Our captain, our presidente, Mr. Adam Hall from the Gold Coast Mortgage Brokers.
Thank you very much, mate. I'm happy
welcome,
to be here.
Buddy.
Enjoyed the off season, shall we call it, but ready to rip into the new season, season two of the PPA MLP. Set to begin at the end of this month on the Gold Coast, our home ground, boys.
The
home
coast ground. With the most. Hopefully it stops raining by the time this tournament comes around.
Absolutely. But there is an undercover area. So that's why we picked the Royal Pines facility, Colin.
Yep, I can't wait.
I think
you
go RACV. I'll have to look that up. But aptly timed, our guest. Our guest is... the queen, shall you say, of the Gold Coast. Probably the most decorated pickleballer in the country.
Future Hoff.
Future Hoff.
Of Australia.
Having won international tournaments in Thailand and Indonesia. State titles in Queensland, New South Wales, South Australia, to name a few. Australian pickleball championships, including a triple crown in 2022. But perhaps most coveted of all, the inaugural Slam Jam champion in mixed and gender doubles. And in fact, multiple time winner since.
Wow.
She's the in-country coordinator for Engage Pickleball, wife, mother, number one women's doubles, number two singles, number three in mixed doubles, Australian rankings that is, and captain of the Gold Coast Glory, it's Sarah Burr.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
We are blessed to have you in our presence today.
I'm surprised my head could fit through the door, to be honest, after that intro.
You need Adam to follow you around. Every time you go to the grocery store, you just need that intro.
Mate, this has been a long time coming.
Guys, this is huge. I don't think we've ever done a podcast where we haven't chatted about Sarah. So excited. I'm just jelly that I'm not there in that room with you guys.
Yes.
Here in spirit.
Yeah. She's probably the, like I said off the top, probably the most decorated. You like to say the word decorated, Ty. It's a weird word for us Aussies, but I went with it in the intro. Decorated always just, I have this picture of a Christmas tree all of a sudden and putting ball balls on that and tinsel. So anyway, decorated we'll go with. But Sarah Burr, how are you?
Yes.
Really good, thanks. Just, super excited to be here. And it's been a long time coming, like you said. I've been listening along and, enjoying the banter. So it's good to be here.
And the draft, it's come and gone.
Yeah, what a fun, crazy time. Super stressful as a captain, but you guys would have to be stoked with my picks.
Yeah, actually.
Who are you talking about?
Well, yeah, we probably should. So obviously we, a while back before the draft, we had an under the table handshake. We have a brown daddy that we would like to be on your team, and it's time to pay her out for picking him number one.
Mm. Yeah, thank you very much for picking Vishal Masand. Thank you very much.
If you're not watching YouTube, brown bag with thousands of dollars.
No, you don't need to count it now. You don't need to count it now.
No, don't count it now. That wouldn't be classy.
So heavy.
Yes. Because we know he wasn't going to get picked unless you picked him.
No, we were wrapped, weren't we, Ty? You especially.
Oh my God. I was so pumped. Actually, they even made a comment. They go, we know the Slam Jam boys are beside themselves. And we were literally beside. I am.
That's a good guy, buddy.
Yeah, I already went online and started buying Glory t-shirts and merchandise, hats, everything Glory now.
Is it already up?
Oh, yeah.
You should see the tattoo on his ass.
Damn. I can make it wiggle.
He's got a few.
Seems like a silly question, but tell us why you picked Vish.
I just think he's probably the most underrated player in the country right now. I think he brings so much to a team, like not just his ability on the court, but just his attitude and like his energy, I think is just second to none. Fellow lefty, so I've got a lot of respect for lefties. And I just watched his play develop over the last season. I was very dangerously close to picking him last season. It was a little bit of a last-minute snap decision not to pick him, and that was just more down to, player combinations and things last season. But this time when he was available at my draft pick, it was a bit of a no-brainer for me.
Just on that, maybe a reason for not picking him would have been regarding, potentials for dream breakers and how you thought he could perform versus, say, Alex Fairbanks, who I think you went with in the end, and if that was part of the reason, How satisfying was it for you to see how he performed in Dream Breakers, specifically, say, in Auckland, which I think was actually against you guys sort of thing. So can you give us maybe an insight? Am I picking up something completely off there, or was that part of your equation when you were weighing up picking him or not in season one?
No, to be honest, it was nothing to do with his Dream Breaker ability. In fact, I'm not sure if it's like that for other captains, but I don't really – draft so much for Dream Breakers. I want to draft to win before we get to a Dream Breaker. And I feel like...
Love that. Killer instinct, boys. Mm-hmm.
But with the talent out there now, I think almost all of us can win 4 points in singles. Like, unless you've got someone with a bad injury or something like that, I think Dream Breakers are not like normal singles. So I don't think you can really just draft good singles players. I think you should be drafting your teams around doubles play and chemistry. That's my priority anyway. So when it came down to picking Vish or somebody else, it was more the lefty-righty thing, and I had Danny on my team, so I had to. She had already played tournaments with Fairbanks before, so you know, I gave her some input. We had a bit of a team coach last season. You may have heard of him. He had a little bit of input as well, and so I combined those elements together and then made that decision. And to be honest, there was a little bit of strategy at play as well. We had Mitch Hargraves looking to probably draft Fairbanks on a team, and so part of my strategy honestly was to kind of make sure that he didn't build a super team, obviously being such a strong male captain, and then having you know, Alex as his regional pick. So that was part of my strategy as well. It was, I guess, a little bit of friendly sabotage. Sorry, Mitch.
And obviously the Slam Jam local boy that had to have come into play a little bit. You know, you're gonna get a lot of airtime, at least with us.
Oh, definitely.
Talking about brown daddy.
Oh, brown daddy. Yeah. I know you boys love your brown daddy, and it almost broke my heart when you guys were sort of rooting against the Glory last season. I'm like, we've got Gold Coast mortgage broker here, we've got you know, the local boys
slam jam. Shit.
Exactly. Yep. So I learned my lesson. Okay, I learned my lesson. I'm here.
No. I'm absolutely loving your team. And Roman, he's an amazing guy. He's a lot of fun as well. Were you surprised that he was still available?
Yes, I was surprised that he was available after his incredible run last season. Obviously, he was my last draft pick last season, and it seems almost a crime that I got him when I did. There was obviously a few more international males available this season, and they were snapped up early. So when I saw Roman there, it was very risky because I was leaving myself open to having to pick a local female or either Australian or Asian female last. And at 35, there was not a lot of people left. But when I saw his name there, I just had to pick him. And I'm so happy to start off my draft with Vish and then round it off with Roman. I was like, wow, that's a really strong men's pairing. I don't see a lot of teams beating them. So I was really stoked with that.
Also on Roman, obviously.
Just one more question. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, obviously his skills speak for himself, but his culture too. Like he's very good with team chemistry. He loves to have a beer with the team afterwards. He hangs around. Like, that's what you want. If you're building a long season together, you want your team, you know, culture to be as strong as they are off the court as they are on the court.
Absolutely. I loved his energy last season. He's like an Aussie in his spirit. Like, honestly, he would be out in the car park, and we had some car park beers at 10 a.m. when we had some afternoon matches, just chilling, relaxing. Not sure if you know of his history, but before his pickleball days, he was a craft beer kind of enthusiast and would, I think it was blog on craft beer. So that's what he would do.
And tours.
Yeah. So
yeah. He's a great guy.
So yeah, we had so much fun, but I just love, he's so fierce on the court, but off the court, he's the most relaxed, chill guy and so fun to be around. So yeah, definitely he was, you know, so important to our team chemistry last season. And so I just wanted to keep him on the team for sure.
Absolutely.
I've got one more question before we get into your third round and final pick. I got one more question, and this is important. I don't want Sarah to dodge this in any way, but coming into the second round, if Fuck was still available to be drafted, would you have picked Fuck over Roman?
I almost picked Fuck last season just based on his name alone, because I was so impressed.
P-H-U-C, the listeners, P-H-U-C, might be pronounced Puck, but we go with Fuck.
No, it's not, Adam. I've called him.
You called him?
I said, how the fuck are you?
Now, we've obviously
That's
gone.
That's interesting. Sorry, because you on the night, you were actually more like, who the fuck are you? Not how the fuck.
Yeah.
I just want to finish off your draft selection. So last pick, obviously, Sarah Jane Lim. Have you played with her ever before? Obviously, she's from season one, so you've seen her skill set, but have you guys ever played together?
No, we've never played together. But Danny and I had quite a tight match against their team, the Vipers in Sydney. So our women's doubles, I think we won like 22-20. So okay. I saw her play really well. But the thing that impressed me the most about Sarah Jane was her personality. So you would have seen all the fun posts on the Vipers
the
team.
Socials.
All the socials were good. And they were losing bad. And she had the biggest smile on her face, just so stoked to be there. And I've heard reports you know, from other players playing in international tournaments of just how she's a fighter. Like even if she's down 10-0, she'll go another gear and she'll fight like till the end. And yeah, so she was on my list. I thought she was someone I didn't think I was going to get so late in the draft, but she was kind of like top of my wish list. So when she was still there, I was so happy. Like I felt like I have such a good all-round team with really, really good chemistry. And I was, you know, so happy with the team.
Perfect. And obviously going into a draft, every captain's going to have a game plan. What was kind of your game plan? I've actually gone through and seen the list, and it looks like it was Mitch and Pei are the only two captains that selected the same sex as their number one draft pick. Everyone else did a mix. So that is one strategy I think that a lot of people decided on. But yeah, what was your game plan going into it? And I imagine you had a list of names that some probably were taken before you had the opportunity. And if you can, maybe elaborate on a few of those names that you're hoping to pick.
Yeah, so because I was so late in the first round, I had to have multiple strategies. So obviously if I could get, you know, obviously Joey Wild is someone that, you know, was high on my list, being a local. I just played the Queensland Championships with him, got the gold. So and obviously played against him multiple times last season. So he was high on my list. Aman as well, obviously had a really stellar season one with the Vipers. So he was high on my list. But I still had that niggling in the back of my head as well that Roman was, you know, I really wanted to get Roman. I was going to pick Roman at 11, but then thinking about the strategy behind it and I had Summer picking after me, I had a feeling that Summer might pick Vish directly after my Roman pick, and I was really, really wanting Vish. So that's why I actually picked Vish first to lock him in. And that was just to make sure that Summer didn't take Vish. I did leave it open for Summer to potentially pick Roman. But Summer's a left side. She prefers to be on the left side. So I felt like she was probably going to try and pick a solid right side male player, which is mainly a left-hander. So that was kind of my strategy, why I went Vish first. And then Summer had her two picks. Then I snapped up Roman. And then I sort of took my chances with trying to get the strongest female I could later in the draft. And then obviously I was so stoked to get Sarah Jane.
Yeah, sounds like it all worked out. This strategy paid off.
It really came down to I had to watch the international picks and sort of see what was going to happen with the females. Because if the men mainly and the other people in the draft behind me, if they didn't pick international females, I would have run out, because I couldn't pick an international female for my last pick. I would have run out of females to pick from, basically. I would have really been struggling to get, you know, a strong female for the last pick. So I was watching like a hawk as the draft went on. And thankfully there was like an influx late of the men picking all the international females last. And I was able to get Sarah Jane. So
awesome. I have just a question. Like when I watch drafts, a lot of it's like NFL or MLB, and there's a lot of communication with the players that they're about to select. How was your communication throughout the 2-hour draft or 3-hour, whatever it was?
I was really nervous and I didn't have too much communication with players that I wanted beforehand, only because I really had to just wait and see, you know, to see what would happen before me. I couldn't guarantee anybody a spot. I had a few quiet words with Roman, less with Vish, but I think he just knew. I think Vish knows how much I enjoy playing.
Spidey senses.
Yeah, yeah. He knew that he was high on my list, but he also knew that I couldn't guarantee anything. And then immediately when I picked Vish, I told Vish who I was hoping for next. So once he'd been selected, and then I got him straight on to these are the females that I think will get late in the draft. Are there any ones that you prefer to play with or not play with, or what have you seen? So I did definitely get Vish and Roman involved. Obviously then Smart. Connected the two of them the minute that they got drafted. And it was actually pretty cool because we called Roman as soon as he'd been drafted, and his partner Jazz was there with him in the room, and they were like cheering and they had it on their screen and everything. And she's like, oh, we're so excited. It was so clinical that you've got Vish and Roman together, rah, 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 rah. And then the next minute they do the next draft pick, which was Katie, and it was Jazz getting picked. So I was literally on the call with her when she got picked by Katie, which is really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was so cool.
She's someone I'm looking forward to seeing come down and actually play. They're a lovely couple.
She's really feisty though, and it's really funny because when we're playing in New Zealand, we did a bit of a practice match. So it was Joey and Jazz versus Roman and I, and it was really spicy. Like, they were getting really into it, like going at each other, speeding up, like getting real serious, no paddle taps. Like, they were so competitive.
This is Roman and Jazz, of course.
So you imagine first round who we're playing? We're playing the Rush. And so we could potentially have a Roman Jazz battle
domestic on the court.
Watch this space; it could get very, very spicy.
That'll be very interesting. One thing that I think we're all intrigued to understand is who's going to play with you, Vish or Roman? Has it been decided? Can we get an exclusive, or do you sit here undecided?
That's $1 million question. You're going to have to fill up my bag here with a little bit more. Thanks.
Got to get the other bag.
We got more bags.
We got more bags.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, I think that's something you're going to decide as you guys train together.
Yeah, I'm sitting
on words in her mouth, Colm. I'm about to get an exclusive.
Sitting on the fence. Obviously, I'm training a lot with Vish at the moment. We're about to take off to India to play together. And he's just insane. We're starting to play so well together and understand our roles on the court and just building up that chemistry. So I'd love to play with Vish. Obviously, we're double lefty though, so it is a little bit of a weird combo. We make it work, and it works, I think, at the moment because people aren't used to it. But yep. I do have my concerns over time if people will maybe start to try and they might pick that apart a little bit. But definitely an option, and I'm totally happy and comfortable with that option. Obviously, I've got the whole of last season with Roman, and that worked really well as well. And I just love playing with him too. So sound like a bit of a floozy, but I just want to have them both at the moment.
Yeah. But did you mix it up at all in the previous season one, in the three tournaments? Did you always play with Roman?
Yes, I did. And that was mainly because Danny had played a few tournaments with Alex Fairbanks before, and they just combined well. So I didn't really want to mess with that little combo. And then plus, Roman and I were just getting better and better as we went along. So there was no need to switch it up. But, yeah, that's the good thing about this team is that we definitely can switch it up if need be, or we feel like it, or maybe for potential matchups, like for preferable matchups with people, we might say, hey, no, actually, you know, Sarah and Vish are better in that combo, or, you know, Sarah, Jane and Roman with that particular player, you know, like even playing the Rush, do we put Roman against Jazz? Is that going to be a psychological thing that's, you know, beneficial for us, or the opposite? Do we want to, you know, keep them apart? Is that going to mess with Roman mentally to be playing Jazz? So we can kind of, I think it's going to be game by game as to who plays with who. I'm playing the PPA with Roman for the Gold Coast event, but then I'm playing the next two PPA events with Vish. So, like I said, I'm a floozy. I like them both.
Nothing wrong with that.
That gives us something to keep an eye on, boys. When they take the court, who is Sarah going to partner with? It's like prom. Is it prom?
Yeah, but the boys in prom have to ask the girls.
We already know who the prom queen is, so now we just need to find out who the prom king is. Is it going to be Vish or is it going to be Roman?
And who's going to have a bigger brown paper bag to give her? That's pretty much it. Now,
find out.
That's for sure.
Now that your team has been established, which I think is a very strong team, and Sportsbet currently has it paying $1.75, but I think the question everyone wants to know, what was the first message in the group chat? Do we have a group chat? Do we have a meme yet? Anyone sending memes on there?
Oh, I'll have to have a look. Yeah, it's definitely messages.
Who's speaking up the most?
Can I just add something about Sarah?
You go.
No, I was going to say about Sarah Jane Lim. I just think that was a fabulous pick just overall. But given that, you know, you had limited options at the end as well, I think it's a great pick for the Gold Coast Glory, and I think you said it yourself, you've got a well-rounded team. Certainly when I watched her play, specifically in Brisbane, her touch and her resets, that's what she is exquisite at. And if she can partner with teammates of the caliber of yourself, Roman, Vish, I think we're going to be able to see her go on the offense and see what she actually does have in attacking weapons. And I'm most excited to see that because, yeah, I think she could complement you guys very, very nicely and make you one of the, you know, top three formidable teams. And I guess the proof will be in the pudding after the first tournament, see how we go.
So which team are you most concerned about?
I would have to say the Sydney Smash.
Sydney Smash. We're talking about Mitch Hargraves, Joey Wild. We have Selena and we have Yao Wang Beckwall. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
She's back. That's a very good season team. One, and I coached her, and she was awesome. And she also won, I think, doubles at that Brisbane tournament in the open play. So that was a great steal in the fourth round for Mitch as well.
It was. So walk me through it. What makes them, in your opinion, the team to beat?
Well, I think
of course, aside from our Gold Coast Glory.
Yeah. I think just their men are very, very strong. Obviously, Joey Wild, Mitch Hargraves, like stellar men's doubles team. They've played together. They've played PPAs together. They've got good chemistry together. So I think as a men's doubles pairing, they're strong. Do I think our Glory men can beat them? Yes. But they'll be tough. It's going to be a tough match for that one.
It's going to be box office. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be great to watch. Holy shit. Absolutely. You're going to need to bring it that game, boys.
Yeah, and then their women are strong too, very, very strong. Selena's an up-and-comer, a strong tennis player, lovely girl. And Zhao, also really have a lot of respect for her as well, great player. Played her in the finals of that PPA Brisbane. It was Rose and I versus Amelia and Zhao. Had a good tussle there. So she's very, very good in women's.
And very coachable.
Very coachable.
I call her the Hawaiian Slayer.
I love it. Yeah, she's lovely.
Okay.
Hawaiian Pickleball Slayer. Maybe I should add pickleball in there as well.
Add that in, yeah. So she had a few struggles last season with a back injury, which sort of hindered her a little bit, but I believe she's fully recovered now. And I think both mixed doubles pairings of the Smash will be strong. I guess Selena's a little bit less experienced, so... interesting to see. I'm assuming Mitch will probably play with Selena because they're both Sydney based, and then Zhao and Joey, I believe, will probably pair up.
Interesting.
Love it. Adam, quick question for you. You seem to be the one who never gets into shit or says very bold statements. I want you to pick, in your opinion, the bottom of the ladder team right now.
Oh, jeez, Colin's going to have to help me out.
Yeah. No, I see you. Here you go, dog. No.
I'm pulling up the photo so he can actually go through it.
Oh, the photo. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? You know what I'd love to talk about, and it's going to be on the draft recap episode, is Daniel Moore getting picked up, Ty. You, of course, played with him in Slam Jam. Do you want to just take us over while I buy some time
get your answer, Daniel, I hope that you're listening to this because, I hope you're listening to this, Daniel. I let you down. You took a risk on a young, poor boy from the projects, and he showed some promise until the semifinal where he absolutely shit the bed. That person we're talking about is yours truly. We absolutely demolished everyone in the pool play, and we beat Jay and Mike, and then they beat us in the semifinal where they figured out I have absolutely no forehand dink playing on the right-hand side. And the look that Daniel was giving me was breaking my heart, where he was just like, he was so doubting all my skills that I doubted all my skills as well.
Disappointed
some of the shots
look
that he was taking. Colin, disappointed stepfather look. Even more, raise more doubts in yourself, right? So it was like, I was playing on the right-hand side. I'm not joking. Doc, I think, hit a dink that hit the right-hand side outline, and Daniel took it.
Did he stay in your corner?
He was taking cross-court dinks, and not even in the corner. If he had his preference, that would be just out. No, no, I would have been sitting there waiting for Vernie.
Wow, because I'm pretty sure after that tournament he said I'll never come back to Australia again, and then look where he is now.
Yeah, well, it's he then all of a sudden he was anti-Australian, anti-everything.
Well, he's back. He's back, baby.
No, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
He is
and
a legend.
I'm so excited. And it's fitting because actually it was Jay that beat us when he was playing, I think, with Mike.
Now they've
teamed up. Exactly. So Adam, back to your question, man. Pick the bottom of the ladder. Let's just get you on record with something.
Mate, this is really hard to do because I'm looking at the teams. They're all way more evenly matched. I think there's way more intel on a lot of the players. There's so many return players. There's a few new players, but the new players have reputations. So it's really bloody hard. But I'm so glad you put me on the spot, you mutter. You know what?
Yep.
I'm going to give you two teams that I am going to nominate for going to the bottom, and it's going to be very controversial. I'm going to say the Crocs are going to be bottom three.
Wow.
For MLP season two.
Okay.
It's a bold call. It'd be a huge fall from grace, but I'm calling the Crocs
hero
bottom
to zero.
Three. Now, someone has to be in the bottom three, guys, so don't take it too personally at the moment. I'm happy for you to shove it right back.
Would you say
here.
That's based off two players that you've never seen play before?
Not necessarily. One of those players in Harsh, I think you're referring to, who's got a huge reputation, if not a bigger reputation than Amar.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, okay, I didn't know that.
And I watched them over the weekend, actually, in the English Open, and they teamed up really, really well. So it's going to be exciting. A bit like unorthodox-looking player, but very effective. And Andy, I think she's an up-and-comer, and she's performed really, really well in the NPL. I think she's got a lot to offer. It'd just be interesting to see how that team gels and how she goes at this level on a consistent basis. Sort of thing. So I think the Crocs could be bottom three. I'll give you one more team and that's it. Asian Aces. Yeah, what the fuck? That's got Denise Chan. She's got fuck in there. And I just don't know how the fuck they're going to go. Yeah. I really don't. We will see. And maybe they'll fucking show me. We'll just have to wait and see. So we'll go with those two for now. Happy? On record.
Fuck yeah.
All right, let's take us away from maybe MLP and PPA. Tell us where it all began. One of Colin's favourite questions is...
Yes, now that we have the future Australian Hoff with us, obviously every pickleballer has a journey, and we would love just to know, what was your journey and how did it look? And maybe what was your first tournament that you signed up for? Who was your partner and how did you learn about this amazing sport called pickleball?
Yeah, so I learnt all about pickleball back in January 2021. So I was friends with Martin Clark's wife, Nan, on Facebook, and I saw that she had posted Martin winning a tournament. So he was on a podium holding a paddle and had a medal around his neck, but I could see like the tennis courts in the background. So I just messaged her and I'm like, what did Martin win? What is he playing? And she gave me a little bit of a rundown of it. And I was like, oh, I kind of like the sound of that. So a few months later, I finally, got the timing right to go and have a hit with her and Martin. And I think it might've been Yeah. So the three of them showed me how to play and, yeah, I was really addicted from the beginning. I had no understanding of the rules at all. I kept staying at the baseline and just like crushing balls, crushing forehands, but had such a good time. I just started doing a little bit of training, a couple of night sessions, drills and things. And then Martin asked if I would travel to the New South Wales Open with him to play mixed and asked the other half. And he's like, yeah, I don't know about, traveling interstate to play this silly sport with a plastic ball and everything. But I ended up talking him around. So we made a bit of a weekend out of it, traveled down to the New South Wales Open where I happened to watch you play, Colin, you and Ty.
Yeah, intermediate champs. I remember that. And boom. Shannon was there as well.
Yep, that was our first tournament. And it was a crazy tournament. There was all sorts of stuff happening. There was a lady and a man doing, like, I don't know, like flips. Like, he had her on his shoulders and she was doing flips and then, like, coming off the shoulders, like, I don't know. There's there's you boys, like, sinking beers and yahooing and carrying on. We had Deb and Sumi.
That wasn't us.
Deb and Sumi in their matching tracksuits doing, like, synchronized, like, warm-ups.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, this is so crazy. It's batshit crazy and I love it.
Wasn't there, like, a fire alarm too that yes. we all had to evacuate that building? Yes. It's all coming back to me now.
It was crazy. And I remember watching, it was like, who was it? Mental blank. Anyway, just the OGs playing, and then Martin and I played mixed. I think Deb and Glennis.
Yes,
we had to play them in the women's, and Glennis and Bruce. Like, we ended up playing them. I think we got silver, and they got gold in the mixed. And
wow.
So, like, medaled at my first tournament. So then, it obviously, just became an addiction. And just sort of signing up for the next tournament and the next tournament. And, like, I don't know how I managed to snag Martin, like, one of the, you know, the best in the game. I just got in at the right time. He was in between mixed doubles partners and I.
Well, he's a good recruiter. I think he got lucky snagging you as well at the same time. As you were young rising rookie, I think it was a great pairing that you guys found each other, and all through Nan.
Yeah, yeah. So just through, you know, friends through school and then, yeah, now – pickleball family.
Amazing. And your background, is it tennis or racquetball or squash, or what is your background before pickleball?
So I played tennis as a kid, so quite a lot, from about 7 through to about 14. So I played a lot of tournaments. I shared a coach with Sam Stoza, so we had the same coach. I used to train in a year younger than her, so I was training with one of her younger brothers and doing squads and things. But I'm a little bit weird in tennis. I'm double-handed both sides. So you'll actually see it in pickleball sometimes. I'll hit like a double hand or forehand, like just out of old tennis instinct, which is a little bit weird. But with tennis, I always loved volleying and I loved doubles, which is a little bit unusual. That's the thing I didn't like about tennis, is how kind of lonely it is on the court playing singles and how all the emphasis is on singles. So, I used to love doing fun drills, learning how to volley in tennis against a wall. And I had this really crazy coach where he'd have it, if your racket hit the wall behind you and you're volleying, you had to roll on the floor and scream like you're on fire.
Oh.
And all this like random stuff. So yeah, I just
made it fun.
Made it fun. I was always really interested in doubles in tennis. And then I guess those skills translate quite well to pickleball. I had a massive gap off though. Like, I didn't play tennis for like nearly 20 years. Till I found pickleball, and I just kind of reignited that passion for sport. Like, honestly, I haven't really done any sport really besides going to the gym a little bit for 20 years, and then I found pickleball and it all kind of came back, the competitive nature and just wanting to drill and train and travel. It's just kind of, I'm a whole different person.
and you've achieved so much in Australia, and then at the end of 2022 you went off to the US. And you were there for 2 months, I believe, and you were playing some tournaments, and the plan was to see how you go. So tell us about that experience. Like, what did you have to line up before? What were you lucky enough to, I guess, arrange or not? Did you completely wing it? And how many tournaments did you get to play? And what was the level like, you know? Tell us a bit about that experience.
Well, I just couldn't believe it when I started playing that there wasn't more people playing. And then when I started medaling, I was like, I felt like a bit of an imposter. I'm like, I'm not that good and I'm getting medals. And so I started traveling further, because obviously I did well in Australia and, singles, doubles and mixed. So then I started playing a little bit in Asia, and then I started doing okay there. So then I started to think, well, all the best players in the States, so I'm never really going to know how far I can go unless I have to go over there and try. So, I did a trip to the US Open. That was more of a group trip and had a lot of fun. And then, the end of 2022, we made the decision as a family just to go over there for a couple of months. We literally only booked return airfares and 4 nights of an Airbnb, and we just winged the rest, which was pretty wild with 2 kids in tow, obviously, having limited funds too. Like, we really had to stretch the dollar. But I think it was a really cool life experience for the whole family. Started off in...
And you got to stay in the family house. We loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, you really you helped me out, Ty, with my – I had to travel alone first to Texas to a PPA event, and I had nowhere to stay. So Ty helped me out firstly with the first night's accommodation over there. Got to play, Tyson McGuffin, Catherine Parento, Jay De Villiers. Oh, funny story there. I cracked him in the nuts in the first first match.
That's how we do it in Australia.
He deserves it.
Jesse Irvin, so Letne Jansen. I got to play like all these crazy, like to me, because obviously we only see these people on like YouTube, so like TV, and then to just rock up in Texas and play these players was wild to me. And I was just
was
trying
this
to
just rec
cool.
or in the tournament you
No,
mean?
This was a tournament. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a smaller tournament.
Wow.
And yeah, so I did that. Played the Houston Open, played at another Texas Open. I played Newport Beach, went to Arizona to the Mesa APP. We went to San Diego and, stayed with Ty's mum, which was cool.
Are these tournaments just back-to-back, like weekend after week? So you're just traveling one city to the next.
We literally zigzagged wherever the tournaments were. We're on buses, we're on flights, we're on trains, we were having to pick up Turo rental cars, we were doing some homestays, we'd just meet people at the courts and they'd be like, yeah, come and stay with us for a couple of nights. We're literally with two kids in tow, we're just like, you know, basically couch surfing. So but we had to, because like, you know, money was really tight, so we just had to try and do what we could to stay for as long as we could, and then it was just a matter of trying to line up partners, because obviously nobody knew who I was. And you know, you have to enter tournaments quite a few weeks in advance, so it was just a bit of a juggling act. But all in all, it was such a cool experience, and managed to get, I think I was fifth in women's doubles in my last tournament just before I come home, and had a really tight mixed doubles match against Dekel Barr and Andrea Coop that we ended up losing. It was my partner, Cowboy Kai. We lost 11-9 in the third. So then people started to take a little bit more notice of me then. And then it was around that time that the MLP draft for the US was about to sort of happen. So I put my name in the draft. And then, no one was more surprised than me when January rolled around. I was already back home in Australia. And then I get messages and calls in the middle of the night that I've been drafted to MLP over there. I was like, whoa, okay, this is really cool.
Amazing. And like the learning curve of coming from Australia and playing at the high level here versus rocking up over there, I imagine that you've got great perspective on where you actually sit, and you would have expected to play against a lot of players that are really going to challenge you and already maybe even a level above. But what was that level like actually having to experience it? How tough was it, or how comfortable did you actually feel?
I think we're not as far behind as people think. I think we're actually, and we're getting better and better, and I think now that more of us are taking it seriously and training a lot more regularly and doing drills, not just all playing, you know, rec play matches, I think we're getting closer and closer. Yes, they might be pulling away again because now they've all got contracts and they're not working anymore. A lot of them are just full-time training, so they're probably pulling away a little bit again. But when I was there, I wasn't like blown away by the difference in level. It was probably a little bit more about consistency and maybe the strategy side, they had a little bit of a better understanding, but I feel like we're really catching up now. And there's not really anybody I played that I was super intimidated by. Like if you can handle Lucas Pascoe or Katie Hart's power and things like that, and, you know, Danny with her flicks, like I think, yeah, I'm not that intimidated by anybody else. Obviously, I didn't get the opportunity to play Ben or Anna Lee when I was over there. I just missed. I was like, had to win one match to get to play them at one of the tournaments, but that'd be an amazing experience. But otherwise, I think that's kind of one of the good things about pickleball, is that it comes down to what player turns up on the day, you know, how you're feeling. Your confidence level's massive, like a massive part of how you play. Knowing your own strengths, hiding your weaknesses, and you know, if you can do that well, you can kind of beat anybody on the day.
Yeah. I just going back to 2021 when you first started, if you can go back and talk to that young rookie, Sarah, and tell her, you know, one thing to help improve her game, what would you have told yourself when you just first started pickleball?
just drill. The importance of it. I mean, I did it as much as I could. I was working full time. I was having to get up at 4 a.m. and train till 6:30. But and I also, I think, probably play with a variety of players. I played with basically the only crazies who would get up at 4 a.m., which was Beck and Shannon, which I'm super grateful for. And then also Martin, like getting to train with him a lot. But I think you need to be versatile, and you need to play with a range of different people so that you can, you know, develop new skills and new patterns and things. So, yeah, that would be another thing, is just mix up who you're playing with, play both sides, things like that as well.
And this off season, have you been working on one strategy on the court that in your game that you want to add a little bit more to this new season two?
Yeah, well, obviously I'm getting on the older side now. I'm 38, so I've been getting more into the gym side and doing a lot more off-court training. And it's also preventative stuff. Like, I just want to make sure my knees hold up and stuff like that, forearms. Working a little bit on, like, single-handed flicks and being able to lean further into the kitchen. Obviously, I know people like to target my backhand dink area or drop in that spot, but I'm also learning to Ernie more and just be a little bit more aggressive, run around, hit more forehand dinks as well, because I'm very confident with forehand dinks. And then, like I said, being more versatile. So now I'm playing both sides. Obviously, if I'm playing with a lefty male, I'll let them normally take the right. I'll be on the left. So I'm getting the experience to play left side, which normally most of my career I've always been on the right side. So, yeah, I feel like I'm just a little bit more versatile, moving better and trying to be a little bit more aggressive, particularly on the backhand at the kitchen line.
Now, Sarah, you're currently the in-country ambassador or coordinator, should I say, sorry, for Engage Paddles or Pickleball. Tell us, what does that role actually involve?
Yeah, so basically I'm the only full-time employee of Engage in Australia, which is pretty cool.
Honcho, CEO.
Yeah, wow. Pretty much, boss lady.
Do they have a facility here in Australia or is it located in the States?
No, so they're based out of Florida. So all the paddles are handmade in Florida.
My hometown.
So, yeah. I actually went and stayed with the Elliott family when we were over there in 2022. We did a bit of a detour to Florida, to Oxford, and met the family and went to see where they're all made. And I think it's just amazing that, you know, you have a paddle company that's actually still hand making them in the US. They're not outsourcing to China. I think that's really cool. I've been using the paddles myself for about 3 years, almost, you know, not long after I started. And I'm so excited to help them bring the paddles to the country. They're obviously the main sponsor of PAA Australia, the official paddle. So we, there's a lot of people using it now and for good reason. They're just a really good quality product. And
well, now that I know it's a Floridian brand, I'm going to have to convert. Yeah.
Well, you're going to get rid of that Selkirk board.
I've been a little silly Selkirk slut this whole year. I'm ready to switch over.
You have been. Yeah. But I think your paddle's the 2014 edition as well.
Yeah, I think it might have been a hand-me-down from someone.
Boys, there's an interesting tie-in. I think we all grew up in the Entourage era, and Doug Ellen, he has a good connection to the owner of Engage. He actually hits and loves pickleball. So Doug Ellen, if he ever comes to Australia, we're going to have to get in his DMs or private messages, I think you call them, Ty, for a game.
Yep.
Now, actually played with him in,
did you?
In the US, before in LA.
Bullshit.
No, I did. I really did.
Holy fucking moly.
What character? What was
that? No, he was the creator.
He's the creator.
Mark Wahlberg
quite was. Tall, yeah?
Yeah.
And is he have a bit of a gimpy sort of limp on the court?
Oh, I didn't notice it.
No, well, there's a shot I've just fired, haven't I? Tell us about that game. I mean, it was probably just any old game, but did you know who he was per se?
I had no idea who he was. Yeah, it was just before the MLP US. So I went over to LA for a week before to do some training because I was on Wes Burrows' team and his mum lived at Thousand Oaks. He lived in LA. So I just went over and trained for a bit. And then he's like, oh, we need someone else, you know, come and join our group here. And I was like, oh, okay, who's going? And he's like, oh, it's Sam Querrey, Jesse Irvin, Lacey Schneeman, Connor Garnett. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. So I just went and joined in, and Doug Ellens was there. We had Jeff Warnick. We had, oh, I don't know, it was just a crazy group of people. And wow. I just felt like the biggest imposter. I was like, what am I doing here?
Well, you're probably schooling them too.
I was doing all right. I was holding my own, but it just like I said, I just feel like with this sport and my involvement, I don't know how I ended up here. I just started playing for fun a little bit, and then I just feel like as things happen, I'm like, how is this happening to me? It's crazy.
Now, That's Engage, obviously, your paddle brand that sponsors you. Do you have any, like, clothing brand? Because whenever I see you at tournaments, you got the coolest kid on. It's always, like, matching top, matching bottom. It's always, maybe Shannon helps out because it's very abstract colors. Like, is it a brand that you always wear or do you mix it up?
Yeah, so I'm doing a bit of a deal at the moment with Hilara. So, yeah, they've been hooking me up. They monthly, I get a nice little delivery. Actually, I think I got one. I just got a text. I got another delivery just now. So they let me.
Shannon, get that from the front door, please.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. So I know it's really cool.
And try it on, please, mate. Yeah. Try it on and send me
us a photo. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen your outfits for Bali.
Now, was that an organic relationship? Did they approach you or did you meet them at a tournament or how did that go about?
Yeah. So they're an activewear brand and they just started to get into pickleball maybe a year ago, just under a year, and they reached out to certain people just from around the globe and offering the ambassadorship, and I was lucky enough to get the message through Insta that they were liked my content, thanks to Shannon, and started hooking me up. So yeah, definitely I've got them, and then Knock Around Sunglasses, so these little bad boys.
Oh,
so
they
send me some nice glasses to wear, which I'm super, I think it's important now as the way paddles are going and stuff to, you know, protective eyewear. But I've always worn sunglasses anyway, but I do really like these because my old ones would always slide down my face when I'm playing, and these ones don't. They're actually made for sport, but awesome. Look nice.
So. Do they have like a bit of rubber on the...
Some of them do, but yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they just don't slide off your face.
Yeah,
I've got a pretty like narrow head, but they just don't move.
I do a bit of running in the morning, and yeah, when my face gets sweaty, they always just slide down. And yeah. I've recently invested in some Oakleys, and they got this little rubber bit, and it's a bit of a game changer. But now I'm going to have to look into, what was the name of the brand?
Knockaround,
okay. Yeah. I might have to give those a go.
And have you seen these cool grips that we've started making?
I have started to see these grips because I've been having a hit with your lovely husband in the morning, Shannon, and he's getting very experimental with what he's actually putting beneath the grip, actually. Do you want to tell us a bit about what we're looking at right now for the listeners is almost what you might resemble as a
condom?
Pickleball condom.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, mate. It's going over the grip of the paddle, and it's at a lot of different colors. I'm looking at a few right now. One's Glory branded. I see one that looks like if I was a motorcyclist and had tattoos on my arm, that's what it looked like. But just so we're going to face it towards the camera. So what is, obviously it gives a bit of padding and maybe a little bit more grip, but maybe you can expound on what's the brand called and how do you go about using it?
Yeah, so it's a brand called Spark Grips. So they've started out with hockey and cricket grips. They're actually 3D printed out of recycled plastic, which is pretty cool. The best part about it is that you can print whatever designs on that you want. So I've been experimenting with some different patterns to match like my outfits. I think it's just a really cool thing. You could, write comments on your grip of like reminders of like technical things you need to do. You can print QR codes for links to products on it. I just think it's really cool. And I'm finding it almost feels a little bit like velvet on the paddle. So it's really soft. So I'm finding, I'm not getting as many calluses on my hands from the grip. They last for ages because you can just wipe them down. They're actually, water repellent. So it doesn't get like wet and gross like a normal grip, and they just look a lot cleaner and nicer because you can just like wipe them off. So I'm really enjoying working with this company, and they're kind of letting me go a little bit crazy with the designs. So message me on Insta if you want to see some designs or photos or anything on these grips. They're really cool.
Because I to be honest, once I buy a paddle, I never change the grip. Like I don't have the time to unravel it and then put a new one on. And now because I've had this one for so long, it's starting to fray a bit. And I reckon if I had this Spark grips on top of it, it would at least allow my grips to last longer. And then I can always just change this. It looks like it's pretty easy to just pull off and put a new one on.
Yeah, you just actually use the heat gun. So it like heat shrinks over your grip. So you can leave the old one on if you like it. You just heat shrink it on. And then when you're done, you can either peel it off or just cut it off. Wow. And then just change it. And they last for as long as you want them on the grip, basically. They're
game
cool.
changer. Where is this brand out of? Is this Aussie or?
Yeah, so it's a Brisbane company. But these are actually made, the 3D printed grips are actually made in Sweden.
Oh.
So pretty cool. So I'm working with them on different designs as well, looking at doing some thing on the inside to make it even feel more grippy, ones that feel a little bit more like rubber. So yeah, I'm really excited to, again, who thought I'd be doing this 3 years ago, helping a company design grips for pickleball paddles.
It's pretty impressive. I'm potentially the most professional recreational player when it comes to grip. I normally will only use the same grip for three hits, which
it's ridiculous.
I probably get three hits in a week, and then I want to change the grip, but I just use the Yonex, you know, tape. And yeah, my hands get real, real sweaty. So I wouldn't mind trying something like this because
I've already put one in my bag. She doesn't know it yet.
It is painful to actually have to reapply a grip every now and again. I do know that much. Sarah, let's talk about paddles. Come back to engage. So we had some great comments from George Wall at the end of last season, particularly around the Eula, the YOLO, the Jeweler, the Gen 3. It's since been banned or prohibited, shall we say. It's kind of interesting. We're having a chat off air about how that Gen 3's kind of just fallen by the wayside. We don't know if they're fighting to try and get it relisted anymore. Eula have come out with the apparently the paddle that they actually did submit and got approved, and they've brought that out, and it's a bit of an FU to the USPA. Where do you sit on these sorts of paddles, the evolution of paddles, and how is Engage coming to, you know, market with, you know, their version of high performance paddles?
Yeah, I think we're probably moving in the wrong direction. I think having paddles that are too powerful is probably not the best thing for the game. I think it's going to shorten the rallies and the firefights, which is, I think, one of the best aspects of the game. So as a whole, I don't like super powerful paddles. I also have a massive problem with delamination with paddles, which has been an issue in Australia. And obviously, we don't have any testing equipment here, so it's just basically an honesty system. I have had to do it to players, say, I think your paddle's delaminated, can you please stop using it? And I've had players refuse. And I don't like that responsibility being on the player to make those calls. I feel like it shouldn't be a thing. So that's one thing I really love about Engage paddles is that they don't delaminate. They're not thermoformed, so they don't ever delaminate and they don't have those inconsistencies. Yes, the Gen 3 I think was an issue, and I think that Pickleball Australia made the right decision here in banning that paddle. They happened to do it at the Brisbane PPA event right in the middle of singles, which I was really happy about. I think Eula are basically making a paddle that's almost as powerful. It's just just come about to our Australian players just in the last couple of weeks. They've got their hands on them, and honestly they feel like Gen 2.99 almost. So I feel like they're pushing the boundaries a little bit. But I'm happy to say that it's almost pretty widely agreed that the new Engage paddle is basically the best legal paddle out there in almost direct competition to that paddle. So that's what I'm using now is the Pro One, and it's getting rave reviews. So George Wall is actually using Engage now. Yeah, a lot of people are saying, wow, his drives are ridiculous. Sweet. Obviously, you've got Mitch Hargraves using it as well. So two of our best male players are using that paddle, and I'm using it myself. You've got Mickey Hayat using it. We've got Selena's just signed on. Fairbanks is using it. So I think it's getting really, really good reviews. And, I think it's pretty widely accepted now as the next best, if you want to call it. But I personally... I love this paddle. Yeah, stand behind it.
Yeah, 3 years with Engage would say that you're very happy with them, and it's good to see that they're actually, you know, investing in, you know, high performance paddle. And George Wall, the scientist, getting behind it—that's big.
Harry Potter,
he's big.
Mm-hmm.
The wizard.
What did you say he looked like with his new mustache? I love his mustache. But actually, yeah, Joey Wild has a bit of a mustache too, at least in that picture. But what were you saying? He has a cop vibe.
Mole cop.
Just
looking at these photos, I showed Lindsay, my fiance, the photos. She wanted to see what the draft and who got picked, and she pointed out something that I didn't point out. Vish's photo is the only action photo. If you look at all the photos, everyone's just standing still, because I think it's just because he's so fast they couldn't catch him just being still.
Potentially, he doesn't linger after a game though, Vish. You know, if he wins, he's in the car. If he loses, he's in the car, sort of thing. So
it's got places to be.
Yeah, yeah. You catch a profile.
Unless he's in Bali, he's watching his partner Ty have a shoey, and then and then he's in the car.
That's about it. But he's done the shoeys.
Has he?
He's often forgotten as the guy who did this. Yeah, he did the shoeys with me.
There you go. Well, with season two starting the 30th of August, is there any new rules that is being played in season two, or is there anything new that we should know about, or is it all the same exact rules as season one?
I believe everything's the same. Yeah, I'm not sure if there's any changes being made to like substituting players or anything like that, but we're still playing first to 21, win by two. Everything else is staying the same, yeah.
Sarah, can I ask...
Sarah, which rule do you want changed?
That people over 30 don't get a 5-point advantage.
That's probably not going to happen.
No, I'm just joking. No, actually, I don't. I think the rules are good. I know they're trialing in America games to 25, and they had it initially where you didn't have to win on serve. They got rid of the freeze, and I hated that because you'd have absolute blowouts. Like if you got to a match point, someone was at 24 and the other team's at 11, then that team's basically got ongoing match points until you catch up to 24, which is almost impossible. So I'm so glad that we haven't done that yet. I'm hoping that and America's brought back the freeze as well. So you have to, it's still games to 25, but you have to win on serve. So I'm hoping that we'll keep winning on serve. And I think probably games to 25 is a little bit long. I think keep it at 21, which we have, which I think is the perfect timing. And yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them always stretch out to 25 when it's really close. So, yeah, I agree. 21 is a perfect amount of time. It's usually like, 12 to 15 minute game if it's a really competitive game. And that's, for me, that's my attention span right there.
Yeah.
Sarah, so before we wrap up, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask, what are the goals for the rest of the year? Obviously, we've got season two of the MLP that's going to take in three tournaments, Gold Coast, Vietnam, and Melbourne. We've also got the Australian Pickleball Championships here on the Gold Coast as well. How do you want to perform? I think that's a dumb question, but I'd like to hear what your goal is with those tournaments and what else is there for the rest of the year, both on and off the court, that you're looking to complete and achieve.
Yeah, well, I've still got the MLP trophy at home from the Brisbane event, so I'd like to keep it if I can for the rest of the year. It'd be great. It's like,
let it be known.
Yeah, you know, chug a few more beers from that. That'd be nice. Yeah, so in terms of like MLP is my priority. I think it's not just about my personal achievements. It's you got three other people on the team, so that's my priority. And then in terms of other events, I'm going to Mumbai next week, so I'm playing with Brown Daddy in a couple of events there. I'm,
heck yeah!
Yeah, playing with Isha and Vishali, some locals. So we've got that. Heading over to Bali to come and visit you as well, Ty. So that'll be fun.
Love it.
Would love to get in a trip to the US, but it'll just be dependent on funds. The Australian Championships. So there's a lot happening. Also doing a lot of coaching. So I'm doing engaged camps as well throughout the country. So I've got some coming up. Melbourne, Tassie, trying to get over to New Zealand as well. And just all around Queensland. So that'll keep me really busy. That's pretty much everything with that side. Obviously, Engage, we're just bringing out a whole heap of new paddles. We've got all these new coloured ones coming out and apparel. So that's keeping me really busy with them. The grips, we've got these Spark grips happening. And then just heaps of family stuff as well. As you guys know, I've got two kids, so juggling their, their things. We've got Benji's like massively into basketball. So if I'm not training on the court, I'm running him around to games and training. So... yeah, life's busy, but life's good. I'm surprised you guys haven't asked me about Glorious, our mascot.
Oh.
Well, the mascot doesn't speak yet. Is he a mute?
I think so. It's probably better if it is.
So we're talking about, is the true identity of Glorious known?
No, it cannot be confirmed or denied.
Okay. All right. Tell us about... Glorious. It is the Gold Coast Glory mascot.
Holy Glory.
new outfit for season two. Breathable fabric. Probably not. Fortunately, it's still winter. What sort of vibe does Glorious bring to the Gold Coast Glory?
A very shiny, dodgy, creepy but kind of cool vibe.
Okay.
Real car park vibe, that. Wow. To summarize that as a car park vibe.
Actually, he's not mute. Oh, it's not mute. It kind of sounds like Batman.
Oh, deep voice.
Sexy.
Christian Bale.
Okay. In fact, when I keep saying, who are you? He just says, I'm Batman.
So Glorious will be at the Gold Coast tournament Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I'm assuming.
I'd imagine so.
We're going to make it all the way through to Sunday?
I think so.
Awesome to hear.
Now, just get a little bit back on topic. We've just obviously discussed your goals for the rest of this year, but as we all know, the Olympics just happened, and man, it was fun to watch. Now, there is talks about Olympics. Obviously, 2032 is in Brisbane. Do you have any say, or could you give us a little bit of details of where we're at with potentially bringing that sport to the Australian Olympics?
Well, I think our Gold Coast Glory team owner, Nat Cook, is really big in this space. So she's doing a lot behind the scenes to try and help make that happen. I just think she's how amazing she is.
Amazing.
I didn't realize how involved she is in so many different things. She's an ambassador for golf as well. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. Obviously, she, you know, the beach volleyball, her background. Now she's involved with MLP as well, not just our team, but MLP Australia as well. She's been over at the Olympics, sort of supporting all the Aussie athletes. Yeah, so I think there's like having really well-known, influential people behind the sport is key, and she's step one of that. So I'm really excited to see what she can do in the space to open the doors and, you know, to get pickleball in there.
Yeah, I went down some rabbit hole online, and it said that for an Olympic sport to be approved by an Olympic committee, it needs to be played in 75 countries. Currently, pickleball is in 60. So we are growing, which is amazing. And now we have, obviously, I think they determined those four extra sports for that country 4 years out. So we have 4 years to get, you know, another 15 countries on board. So I think it is heading in that direction. That's the main reason why they didn't do it in the States, because we weren't at that number yet. But I think by you guys going to India and going to all these international tournaments, it's really going to help bring the sport out. And hopefully we can steal some of those padel players in Bali and get them on board with pickleball as well.
Good call. Well, Sarah Burr, captain of the Gold Coast Glory, we're so appreciative of your time. Thank you so much for coming in. And we're going to wish you the absolute best for the rest of the year, but in particular for the MLP season 2. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Enjoy that brown paper bag with money.
And for all our listeners, Sarah, if you enjoyed our intro song, we want to say a big, massive shout out to a huge, huge fan of the podcast, Owen. He's from Melbourne. He's a land surveyor by day, but pickleballer fanatic. He has been experimenting with some AI. He built us a song. He sent it through to me. I sent it on to the boys. We couldn't believe our earbuds. It was absolutely insane what we heard. I wasn't sure how good it was going to be, but it was beyond my expectations. So,
Coach K approves.
Thank you so much to Owen. We're going to play that out for you now, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Slamming on the court, pickleball is the sport. Coach K, Ty and Adam, we hold down the fort. Triple threat, no room for regrets. Working as a team, we aim for the net. We bring the heat, slamming down jams, slam jam. With Coach K, Ty and Adam, rippling up the court, bringing the rhythm and mad fun. Learning, playing the K's expertise, tying Adam with the mix. Paddle in hand, ready to take a stand. Strategizing every move, listening to the band. We share the love for the game, no room for shame. Slam jam, with Coach K, tying Adam. Whipping up the court, bringing the rhythm and mad fun. Learning, playing and laughing, we never stop. Pickleball podcast, taking it to the top. To the top. To the top!
top.